B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bill. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Al Horford will dribble out the clock. The Celtics win three straight in California. They right the ship. A lot of talk about plane rides, but it's really about what happens in the 48 minutes on the floor. And the Celtics tonight had several games within this one. They come from 17 down, and they beat the Kings to keep pace in the Eastern Conference pennant race. The final score, Boston 126, Sacramento 120.
Hour 2, Agenda Free Friday. All of our hours here at Agenda Free Friday are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Celtics and their win last night against Sacramento has Jim Murray buying in a little bit. Slightly optimistic. How do you feel about it? That's on the board. If you're listening to his update on the radio side here at the top of the hour, you know that Ryan Tannehill has been traded to the Tennessee Titans for an exchange of mid-round picks. Basically nothing. Pocket lint.
A fourth, really.
So Tannehill goes to Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans to back up Marcus Mariota. Boy, Miami's in a full rebuild.
Tank for Tua.
So there you go. They are fully dumping it out. And I find it interesting. Tannehill signed $7 million guaranteed. That is some crazy backup money. Now, you figure with the way Mariota can't stay healthy, he's going to play. So they had to, I guess, come to the table. I don't know. I mean, that's a big backup number. But Teddy Bridgewater declined to go to the Dolphins and returned to New Orleans for $7 million guaranteed to back up Drew Brees. And he may not get a snap. Because Brees pretty good at staying healthy. He posts every week, unlike Mariota.
Says a lot about Miami, doesn't it?
I guess, man, maybe it's shrewd by Bridgewater. Say, what, I'm going to go here, get my brains beaten in for a season and go 2-14 and lose all my value and all of a sudden have no market? You know, I'm better off staying in New Orleans, not taking any hits, not losing any, you know, shine off my rose, and there you go. And who knows? Maybe he's the next guy there. So I just find those numbers interesting. You know, again, on the Patriots salary cap, freaking Brian Hoyer's $3 million, which to me feels too much. It feels absurd.
Yeah, by $3
million. It's too much by $3 million. It's too much by $3
million. Oh, that took a second.
Perfect. You know, and Danny Etling makes $495, which is what, I don't know. So it's this overrated middle class on the Patriots is choking off their payroll, is what I'm coming to learn from Bedard.
Seriously,
yesterday, though,
Nate Ebner, $3 million. Brian Hoyer, $3 million. Who are the other bums you were rattling off yesterday making that kind of dough?
And these are cap numbers, but just to be fair, Ebner is 2.7.
Okay.
But I'm really now just digesting that. That is offensive. Not much really offends me. $3 million for Brian Hoyer? And didn't we just read from Jim McBride in the Globe that, well, they might see the future with Danny Etling? Then cut his ass and free up some money.
Daron Harmon, 4.8. Edelman and White are at 4.5, so I'm going to leave out the guys who actually deserve it. Lawrence Guy, 4.2. Jason McCourty, 4.2. That's his cap number next year? They just re-signed him? And that's his number? Jason McCourty, 4.2. Jonathan Jones, 3. Brian Hoyer, 3. Burkhead, 3. Slater, 2.9. David Andrews, 2.8. Worth it. Ebner, 2.8. 2.78, to be exact. Isaiah Wynn, 2.6. Who knows? Joe Tooney, 2.2. Worth it. Michelle, 2.1.
Worth it. Say it.
Fine, worth it. Alandon Roberts, 2. Not worth it. Josh Gordon, 2. Not worth it. James Devlin, 1.6. I'm sorry.
Worth it.
Is he?
Yep.
Can't you find another fullback for like $700,000?
I don't know. I mean, he's good. I'm not telling you he sucks. He's good. And he's a factor, but geez, really? Brandon King, 1.4. Who is Brandon King?
Special teamer.
I'm sort of joking.
You get a lot of money tied up in that special teams.
Cardona is on the books for $955. What's veteran minimum? Can I look this up? What is the NFL veteran minimum?
Remember, they're up against the cap and they don't have a kicker.
If your long snapper is making anything more than minimum, I don't know. What are you doing there? And back in the Lonnie Paxton days, he actually made good money for a long snapper. So Bill values this. This is one of the things he would value, right? But is 955 too much for your long snapper?
How many years has Cardona been in the league now?
I'm trying to look it up. Cardona is, this is his fourth year.
So he should be making $805,000.
Yeah, that's it. But he has a, so he does make 805 as a base. He makes 805 as a base. But there's some bonus proration there. Of course, you got to give that guy a signing bonus. Otherwise, he's going to bolt. You got to give him some money. So that's why are they in money trouble? Because of all that. Because of all that swag in the middle of the roster. Back to your phones. Here's Rick in New Hampshire. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, I just wanted to mention one quick thing about what I think is one of the moves this offseason that has gone under the radar, and that's hiring of Greg Schiano as the defensive coordinator. I'm a big Ohio State fan. I've watched for the last 3 years this guy get out-schemed by average coordinators with inferior talent against really great talent. I mean, just look at the NFL rosters and look how many Ohio State defensive players are there. It's a defense that has kept Ohio State out of the playoffs the last 3 years.
Rick, you're not the I've heard this from a lot of Ohio State people, that he absolutely blew there.
Oh, my God. It's awful. We are so glad. We wished he would have gone back last year. We're so glad that if I was a Patriots fan, I would be sweating bullets as far as the schemes that go. And I know Bill's in charge of the defense. But you see, if you watch those videos of the Super Bowl, you see how much he was depending upon Flores. And that might be the biggest loss that the Patriots suffered this year.
We'll see. Something tells me they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Bill relying on Flores. I thought Flores did a good job, but Bill is, you know.
As long as they have Bill, they're fine.
Exactly.
Okay, but, so again, put this in the category of things I don't like but aren't going to matter. Bobos and family members on the staff.
Agreed.
Don't like it. Is it going to matter? Probably not. But how does that, it just,
I hope Bill doesn't actually give this guy any power. Like, that would worry me. Like, is he actually going to give Schiano power?
I don't know. God, I hope.
Because if he does, Michael Bennett's going to beat him up.
Fresh Puppets coming up. Don't go anywhere. Clem in Chelmsford. Hi, Clem.
Hey, boys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. So, when I brought up the Gronkowski thing a month ago, I had no idea McGinnis was going to take off and run with it, but that's good. Anyway, a different thought here. You know, Hoyer and Etling, why don't we cut both of them? And A.J. McCarron's available. He'd be good in our system.
Okay, A.J. McCarron, anyone?
I like the idea, yes.
Me too.
When I saw his name pop up yesterday, I said, again, go get him. Absolutely go get him. And I'll tell you what, if you want to keep Etling around just to create competition with a young guy,
yes,
I'm fine with
again,
that.
Again, for $400,000, sure.
Yes, you know, I'm totally fine with that. I'm not, you know, because I believe in sort of that internal dynamic. And look, we've seen it work on the Patriots, that internal dynamic can make the players better. Absolutely. And we've seen it in multiple occasions, let alone quarterback. But that's whether it's Bortles, McCarron, anyone, I'd take a shot on any of those guys.
Me too.
Other than Tannehill.
Especially McCarron.
Yeah. I remain convinced there's something there with that kid because he almost helped the Bengals win their first playoff game in, like, God knows how long, 20-some-odd years.
He showed a little something there. He did.
And he played for Saban, so Bill should have some sort of inside information there.
There you go. Dimitri in Chelsea. Hi, Dimitri.
Hey, happy Friday, guys. Agenda-free, quick little 20-second take for you. I'm just looking at Martellus Bennett. Would love to see him signed. I think you guys saw on his Instagram profile, he's posting up some photos of him, like, smoking joints, using cannabis, things like that. Look, in a country where the opiate crisis is as crazy as it is, I think it's really up to Goodell as commissioner or Adam Silver in the NBA. But one of those two guys is in a role where they can make such a positive step forward and help their athletes who are fighting injuries and coming back from significant pain to be able to use THC or CBD that we know they're using anyway, but to be able to take a stance forward. I just think it's a great opportunity for someone like Goodell or Adam Silver to step out. Would love to see them go ahead and do that.
Preach, Dimitri. Preach. It's obviously so much better for you than taking handfuls of Vicodin or Percocet or anything like that. But one thing you can be guaranteed of, the NFL will never be first on this. I think the NBA and Adam Silver, they've been pretty open about this. They've talked about it. I think they're going to be the first league to take that step, but it will never, ever be the stodgy old NFL.
I could totally see the NBA stepping out and doing that. Totally. I give them credit for it.
Okay, Fresh Puppets, here we go. We'd like to run at least twice, because the work that's put in is stellar from Rob Hardy in the midday and our video crew here at the Beasley Media Group. And so I don't know what this is. I haven't seen it. I've not been briefed on it. I'm just trying to guess what it could possibly be. Can you give me a hint?
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. Ready? Don't.
Is that the People's Court?
I'm not telling.
Kind of did sound like that. I haven't seen this either. I like going in fresh.
Okay. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, where we simulcast across New England and the country every single day, you'll have the visual. It'll work on the radio as well. We're going to send it out in all of our socials, so you'll see it online as well. I've been told this is a doozy, so roll it, fellas. What should be the statute of limitations on bad takes?
3 years, but you can knock it down to two by providing a forced apology.
Right. See, I think that's fair. Statute of limitations is 3 years, but you can plead it down to two with a strong mea culpa or apology, or as Maz said, good behavior.
Good behavior, yeah. This guy says, Maz, you wrote for the 2018 Sox beatings in October of 2020.
So you've got to pay for that for at least a full year or two.
No.
I'm being fair.
Okay.
See, the positive take and the negative take have to be handled the same.
Ah, damn it.
All you green teamers, I want to go back and put together all the sound of what you green teamers were saying about this team going into the year. You've got to pay for that every bit as long as Maz and his negative Red Sox take or me and my negative Patriots take.
Does this mean that for another year, I can rub it in Patriots fans' face like the Eagles won last year's Super
Bowl? Yes, yep.
And wait, but the Patriots won the Super Bowl after, so doesn't that negate the take?
No. Hell no.
3 years, statute of limitations on bad takes. 2 years for good behavior, meaning a mea culpa or apology, Ness.
So does the apology have to be sincere? Because I can give a fake apology with the best of them.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Patriots making a little noise Sunday, trading a fifth-round pick to the Raiders for receiver Cordarrelle Patterson and a sixth-round pick, according to NFL media insider Ian Rappaport.
Patterson runs to the 15-20. Patterson is hit at the 23. The ball's out.
My God.
Loose at the 24 of New England and recovered by Carson of Chicago.
Terrible. Carrying it like a breadbasket. Not protecting the football. Pops right to him. Basically runs right into the back of one of his players. Pick your head up. Look where you're looking.
Goodbye, Cordarrelle Patterson. Loose to the 10. A high five at the 5 and trotting into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Boy, that'll make up for fumbling earlier. Get your butt in the end zone. Too much showboating down there. He's still losing his football game.
Yeah.
But, man,
I'm not sure Bill Belichick is going to like the way that play ended.
Yeah.
And the Patriots.
It'd be classier than that.
Mm-hmm. It's not the Patriot way of doing things on the field.
No.
The experiment. That's what I call him. I call him the experiment. Because he can do it all. You know, so we're all just trying new things with him. So I just love what he does.
Bears have signed wide receiver Cordarrelle Patterson from the New England Patriots. Guy you might remember from playing with the Minnesota Vikings. It's a two-year deal. Worth $5 million per season, so 2 for $10, the reported terms so far.
Again, I want to hear from the Cordarrelle Patterson people. There's a lot of you out there. Heard from you all season long. You love the guy. Versatile, weapon. Loved him as a running back. Oh my God, you guys loved him as a running back. You love that player. Now the Pats let him go for peanuts? And you should be complaining about the team, shouldn't you? Shouldn't you be criticizing the move? He cost you $3.25 last year. He got $5 million guaranteed in Chicago. It's really not that big of a difference. On a $188 million salary cap? It's not that big of a difference at all. Should they have resigned him? And let me ask you, and I think this is even a legit question. Like, I had no use for the guy last year. I have no use for him this year. So I'm just asking you. I want to hear it from you. But if you put it to me like this, would I rather have Cordarrelle Patterson back or Maurice Harris and Bruce Ellington? I think it's a closer call. I don't know. You tell me.
I'd rather have Ellington. I'm serious. I'd rather have Ellington. I'm no Patterson fan.
I'd rather have Patterson. I'm not a fan either, but at least he has both hamstrings.
And he's not 5'9".
So that part is true. He's tall.
5'9" with no hamstring. No wonder he was affordable. So anyway, there's one for you here on an agenda-free Friday. Matt in Hull has an idea for the Pats in the receiver position. Yes, Matt.
Thanks, Spoga. I'm calling about, they say this year's draft is all about the defense, so get offensive players if you can. Oakland just released Jordy Nelson, and they paid him $3.5 million right before they released him. What do you guys think about the Patriots going after him and use the money they gave up from Claiborne and use it towards Jordy?
Okay, I think they would do it if the price were right, meaning even cheaper than that.
I mean, I'd take a shot on a guy like that, sure.
I don't hate it. He actually had a pretty decent year last year.
Sneaky, like, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe, I'm not telling you he looked good or anything. Maybe he just got the balls because they had no one else to throw to or whatever. They were blowouts.
But you look at the stats. It was close to 800 yards and 3 touchdowns. Even I was surprised. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, there's still something there.
Not like he was a complete and total waste there in Oakland. He actually played and was a factor. So certainly, you know, 3 years ago, I would have told you all day long. I don't know if he's ever been the same since he tore his knee. But again, when it comes to the Patriots, what's the price? And then you'll know whether they're interested or not. Barry in Salem has a Bruins thought for me. Go ahead, Barry.
Hey, guys. So I was watching the last two games, and I didn't see many goals where I sat there and went, oh, man, Tuukka sucked. That's a soft one, and I know he lets a lot of soft ones in. It was mostly sloppy defense. But one thing that worries me about all the goals they're putting up is Tuukka's soft. He has a fragile psyche, and stuff like this can totally knock him out of the zone that he's in. So I'm getting a little worried that the defense playing so sloppy in his last couple games might knock him out for the playoffs.
You should be worried.
And I know, too. Shouldn't?
No, you should be worried. You should be.
Yeah. And especially, too, like you see, like when the defense starts getting sloppy, it almost seems like he gets purposely sloppy, too. Like he starts giving up and he gets lackadaisical.
Barry, he didn't see the puck well last night. They hit three posts in the second period. A couple were from a distance that he should have had it. I mean, that Laine, why can't I pronounce the last name? Patrick Laine.
Laine, right?
Laine. That move, I think it was the third post, where he curled and dragged around the whole team. I mean, that was so freaking filthy, I can't tell you. But the shot came from outside the right faceoff circle. And it totally beat Rask. It hit the inside of the post, and it wasn't a goal.
He never saw it.
But I don't think Rask has seen the puck well. He's also getting a little soft in his crease where, you know, it was a fluky goal. The Winnipeg goal was sort of off Truba's skate, I think.
Truba, yeah.
But still, it wasn't like he was strong in there. And that's been a little bit of a trend. I mean, I don't think he's sucked the last couple of games, but he's already come off of that huge run he was on. He's come off of it. He's no longer in that zone. And you should be worried. You absolutely should be worried because this is his trend. Awful starts, really solid middles of the year, and then at the end, where are we? Unreliable. Often tapping out at the end, at the end of seasons, tapping out games at the end of the season, and then in the playoffs, it's hold your breath. I mean, that's what he's been for like 4 years. So you absolutely should be worried. He's got to show you that he can, that role that he gets on in February and January and that sort of stretch, that he can do the exact same thing in April and May. Let's see.
I mean, he even said something to that effect last night, right? Didn't he say something like, yeah, 8 goals the last 2 games, it doesn't exactly feel great.
No, he hasn't looked like the same guy. The whole team hasn't. I'm not telling you it's his fault. I'm just telling you and again, it's that time of year, and he's sort of come off that thing. We've got Matt in Franklin. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how are you today?
We're great.
I got the reason figured out why the Patriots aren't actually getting the wide receivers. They're showing that they're trying to get wide receivers to keep Brady happy, but they're not closing the deal because they're trying to force Gronk into going another season.
I don't get why would this crappy receiving core induce Gronkowski to play?
Because Brady's going to beg him to come back for another season.
I see. It's going to be so bad everywhere else that Brady's going to implore him to return.
And I think it's just the opposite. If I'm Gronk, I look at this right now and the landscape of the wide receiver core in this offense, and outside of Brady and Edelman, I'm good. I'm not going to do this. Thank you very much.
Because once again, it's all going to be on my shoulders.
Right.
Right. And I'm just going to say, based on everything we've heard, Gronk is saying the opposite.
I want a lighter workload.
Or more money. And again, I think it's all financial. I think it's he doesn't like his workload vis-a-vis what he makes. If they paid him like an elite receiver, if they paid him $15, $16 million a year, he don't care who he's playing with. You're playing me full, you know, you're giving me my what I deserve, then I'll give you, you know, 16 weeks. But if you're only going to pay me $8, $9 million, then I only want to work for 8 or 9 weeks. I think that's what he's talking about.
Pretty much, yeah. I think that that's right.
I don't know how anyone on offense, Brady, McDaniels, Gronkowski, could look at what they've done so far and be pleased with it. I don't know. I don't know how that's possible. Billy in Rhode Island on Gronkowski. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, I just can't understand this Patriot team. I really can't. They do it every year. They get away with it somehow. And they don't go after these guys. And here's a guy telling them after 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, and 5 weeks, and he doesn't know. And they're waiting for receivers. It makes me think that they really figure out that they're going to get somebody and they could care. They're going to fill a stadium, and they'll work it out the best they can.
Yes.
Just like they do every year.
Yes, Billy, as I said before, they do figure it out, but they figure it out from a coaching standpoint. They don't correct the mistakes personnel-wise. And this is what I was trying to say earlier, is that people have this misconception that, well, I mean, they always figure it out. Yeah, yeah, the coach figures it out. The GM, the mistakes, you know, the hits, the misses, the near misses, all the stuff that every other GM suffers, Bill suffers, and they're legit. They don't make up for those mistakes, meaning the player still sucks, or the books are still bad, or the contract's still bad, or the draft pick is still missed. That they don't make up for that. He just coaches his ass off and coaches around it, and the league continues to take steps back and no one can catch him. But the GM stuff is the mistakes are real. The mistakes are real. They just make the coach makes up for the GM mistakes. And that's not to say Bill's a bad GM. I'm not telling you he sucks. He still might be the best. As I said before, it's just that the gap between him and everybody else as a GM is much, 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 much smaller than the gap between him and everybody else as a coach. He coaches circles around the league. He does not GM circles around the league. I'm sorry, he does not.
So the other thing he said quickly, you know, Gronk may have hurt himself here in a lot of ways because Gronk's tying up cap space at the moment and money at the moment. And if they do have a financial crunch or cap crunch, as Greg Bedard called it yesterday, and that they have flexibility. Well, I don't know if Gronk's money isn't on the book. Do they have the flexibility to go out and sign Golden Tate or Adam Humphries?
Fair point. Fair point.
I mean, this like the fact that this Gronk thing spills into the offseason the way it does, you know, it's really starting to get annoying.
I forgot to do it coming back from break. I want to thank Hardy again, especially Rob Hardy Pool and the video team here at Beasley. That Fuppets was tremendous. Worth the hype. So, again, catch up on all of our socials if you want to see it. We'll run it again in the final word here on NBC Sports Boston and Felger and Maz. Thanks again to Hardy for putting that together, the brainchild of the Fuppets. Here's an update. Back with more on Agenda Free Friday. Everything from the week, I want to touch back on the Kyler Murray situation. I just love that story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I did talk to a scout last night. I think that his height was inflated. Maybe it's the tinfoil hat theory. I just don't see it. If he refuses to measure at the pro day, that will be telling.
And he didn't measure at the pro day. I love this story. Went in traction or hung upside down or laid upside down on exercise ball for a month to gain a quarter inch, which for him is important. Or
gravity boots.
As Murray pointed out to me yesterday, there was a scout there that said they measured him on top of his hairdo, his afro, which to me is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What are you doing? That's like at least like that's an inch up there. It feels like. So what's going on there? Why can't you get a proper height on the guy?
The thing is shady, man. It is so shady. I'll tell you, I just go by the gut. he's not 5'10".
He's not 5'10".
There's no way he's 5'10".
Eyeball test alone, there's no way. And him not taking this other measurement this week is just proof that he's full of it. Something happened there. Something fishy happened, or they took the wrong measurement that first time around at the combine.
Has to be fishy.
I'll say it, though. Watching the video of him, he can throw. Like, now, the pro day, I can't speak for how he threw at the pro day. I heard the same thing you did when Zoe was on the other day. And Zoe was talking about how he's behind, he's late, he's high, he's inaccurate, all this stuff.
He's sweating, he doesn't like the ball.
All
blah,
of
blah.
It. But I watch him in game video, and he can throw it. He really can. He can sling it. He's got a strong arm. He looks pretty accurate to me. Like, I, you know, I'd take a shot on the kid. I would. One overall, I don't know, but... I mean, if you want a guy like that, I suppose you got to take him there. So I would take a shot. I would.
Really interesting there to see if Arizona bites. And then if they sell on Josh Rosen, and are you involved on Josh Rosen? And if Arizona doesn't bite on Kyler Murray, is it the Giants sitting there? They're in the top five, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're, I want to say they're like fourth. Maybe they're sixth, but whatever, they're right there.
So the Giants are right there. The Raiders, are they going to sell on Derek Carr? They have the ammo to move up and get the guy. So like, that's another really fascinating offseason storyline. And if, you know, to me, 5'10 is really the cutoff. If he ain't 5'10, forget about it. I mean, that's what I would think. But we'll see what Kingsbury does there in Arizona. There's no way he's 5'10, though.
Giants are 6. Oakland is 4.
There you go.
And there's been some speculation that Gruden would want him.
And 2-3 is Jets?
Arizona 1, Niners 2, Jets 3. Yeah.
Got it.
But so, the Niners don't need a quarterback, as we all know.
And neither do the Jets. So we'll see how that all plays out. Agenda Free Friday continues with your thoughts on everything from the week. Joey in Hampton on the Patriots. Hi, Joey.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Good, man.
I want to talk about the wide receiver position. What are your thoughts on Jody Nelson? How much would it cost the Patriots to get him? Hopefully. And if they can't get him, do you think they should enter the draft to get a wide receiver?
They definitely got to start drafting some guys. There's no kids on the roster other than the Berrioses and all these, you know, undrafted guys. So, yes, you start making an investment at the position at the draft? Absolutely. So that whether they sign Nelson or Cobb or Crabtree or anyone, draft. Start drafting some guys, for sure.
In fact, I'd go so far as to say in the draft, they better start looking at the passing game in general, including quarterback.
And tight end, quarterback, receiver, the whole thing.
All of it.
They have nothing.
Really, all of it.
At that position, they have nothing other than Brady and Edelman and Gronk, and they're all just about done.
Yeah, you know, all across the board.
When you look in the big picture of it.
Yeah, it's really the entire passing game. The one thing you could say is, okay, maybe they have a back or two if Michelle turns into, in theory, what he's supposed to be in terms of pass catching, and White's a good player. So, but really, all across the board, what do they have?
I mean...
their passing game is old.
I just don't think running the ball... and playing defense is the way to win consistently. I'd rather have a good quarterback. I'll just tell you like that, a real passing game. I just think that's a far more steady way to go win. There's teams that have done it, and you want to say if you did it last year, fine. But I don't want to bank on holding teams to 3 points in the Super Bowl. It's sort of nice to have a passing game to put up 30-something points and win that way. I'm sort of used to winning that way. And I think it's just I don't know, Brady can still play. You know, I mean, and so, I mean, that's the other thing. This isn't Peyton Manning at the end. This isn't John Elway at the end. You don't have Joe Flacco here, these guys that have won that way. This is, he's still a top 3-5 quarterback at worst in the league. So what are you doing?
I mean, again, you go back to the fourth quarter in overtime of the AFC Championship against Kansas City. Brady was money. He was money in that game when he needed him to be.
Guy in Boston, how you doing, Guy?
Michael, I've been listening to Belichick, the coach, Belichick, the GM. If it wasn't for Tom Brady pulling Bill Belichick's chestnuts out of the fire, he'd be the equipment manager at the Naval Academy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Little strong. He's saying Brady has bailed out Belichick. I think Belichick, the coach, has bailed out Belichick, the GM. And that's not to say that Belichick's a bad GM. He's a good GM. He might be the best. But he's more like everybody else than he is as a coach. As a coach, he's unlike anybody else. As a GM, he's like a lot of good GMs. Good years, bad years, good moves, bad moves, good drafts, bad drafts, bad contracts. Sometimes he runs into cap jail just like everybody else. So he's good as a GM. He's just more like everybody else as a GM. The coaching is through the roof, and so it doesn't show up. We don't know it. I mean, they've punted on the last several drafts. They've missed a ton on the last several drafts.
When you go back and look, it's been bad.
And they've been to three straight Super Bowls. That's Brady, of course, but it's also huge Belichick the coach. So it and I just, people think that like they sort of make up for those mistakes. The GM doesn't make up for those mistakes.
It's the coach.
It's the coach that makes up for the mistakes. So I think Belichick, we've had this conversation a ton. And I think we're seeing it again this offseason. I mean, when you look at the passing game, I mean, if that were any other GM, you'd say they've mismanaged the roster. You have no young receivers. You have no young tight ends. You have no young quarterback. You have nothing other than three guys, and you don't have any room to go improve it. If that were any other GM, you'd say, well, they botched that thing. But they haven't. I mean, or they won't, because they'll coach the way out of it.
And you remember when we used to have this discussion, too, about the first-round picks? You'd say Belichick almost always nails it in the first round. When's the last time you'd say he really nailed it in the first round? So, and I'm cheating because I'm looking at the list right now.
Well, the last time he nailed a first-round pick is Sonny Michel.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah. Just last year, man.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
I mean, I don't know. Nailed is a little strong.
Too early.
Not a bust.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, before last year, when? Would you believe me if I said Chandler Jones in 2012?
Yeah.
Okay, 2013, they didn't have one. 2014, they took Easley. 2015 was Malcolm Brown. Sorry, doesn't count. Wasn't good. Ordinary as ordinary can be.
You don't need to shout at me.
Okay, no, but I'm waiting for someone to say, well, yeah, he was a starter for 3 years.
No,
man.
First rounder should be an impact player. Okay, he was never that.
Malcolm Brown never lived up to what he was supposed to be. I don't care if he was picked 32 or 22. He was never what he was. 2017, they didn't have one. 2016, they didn't have one. And this past one was Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. So really, up until Michel, I think you got to go back to Chandler Jones. I mean, that's freaking 6 years.
Yeah, no argument here.
And it doesn't matter because the coach.
And that's first round. First round.
Okay.
So not fifth. First.
That's on the table here. Coming up next in our long commercial-free segment, my favorite person in sports today. I'll tell you who that is right after this.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
I'd like to read a message that I've written so that it's very clear to all of you. As the owner of the Utah Jazz, I feel it's important for me to take this opportunity to express some thoughts and concerns about the unfortunate event that happened Monday night. I am extremely disappointed that one of our, quote, fans conducted himself in such a way as to offend not only a guest in our arena, but also me personally, my family, our organization, the community, our players, and you as the best fans in the NBA. This should never happen. We are not a racist community. We believe in treating people with courtesy and respect as human beings. We have a code of conduct in this arena. It will be strictly enforced.
Favorite person in sports today, Gail Miller, owner of the Utah Jazz. That was last night to the fans out in Utah before that game, after they threw out for life that racist fan who was taunting at Russell Westbrook the other day. What a tremendous moment for her and the Jazz. I mean, just outstanding. I got a c- couple thoughts. You want to just jump in?
Before no, look, you know, to me, they're clearly sensitive to it out there. So, you know, you hear different stories or criticisms that come up from players as far as going to Utah now. It seems to be coming up or coming out of the soil here a little bit in terms of these criticisms.
I mean, it feels like a lot of the players feel it's the worst place to play in the league.
But the owner of the team. The owner of the team getting out there.
And she didn't gloss over it either.
She labeled it as a racist incident. Good for you, Gail. Because she easily could have not gone there. Because, you know, the thing the guy said was not overtly in-your-face racist. You sort of had to think about it or sort of read between the lines of what he meant there. So, you know, that's an extremely conservative state. Extremely conservative city and fan base, extremely white conservative fan base and state. And so she easily could have, you know, pandered to that side of it and kept the race thing out of it. And she went right to it. She went right there. We will not accept racist behavior of any kind and called it for what it is. So I think that takes some guts in that market. And I just think, good for her. She didn't have to do that. She didn't have to do that. And she did it. And he said, not just offensive to our players, but to me and my family. And it won't be tolerated. Ah, good for her.
I give her credit for doing it live. The easier thing would have been to pre-record the damn thing. So I thought that took guts, too, to do that.
Stood out in front of their live and gave it to you. And I just think it takes a lot to do it in that place. In that place. And, you know, good for them in the first place for chucking the guy for life.
I mean, that's how I felt from day one. I was on Westbrook's side of this. The only part that I didn't like was Westbrook saying, you know, that I'll bleep you up, you and your wife. I'll leave the wife out of it. So I don't know. Maybe she was saying something or whatever. But like, that's going to come off bad no matter what.
And it did. And it cost him $25,000. It cost him.
But these, you know, again, I'll tell you what. I get agitated just by the sheer abuse, even if it's not racial in nature. And this was, which made it a million times worse. But like, you know, what gives you the right to go in the arena and just completely berate and belittle someone?
But she just, you know, again, we are not a racist community. Good for her. Calls it out for what it is. And, you know, you just didn't, because the guy was so, as most racists are, they hide behind sort of ambiguous language. And so this Kiesel, do you know, by the way, he's Brett Kiesel's cousin, the Steelers player with the long beard?
Oh, really?
Oh, I didn't even know
that.
Yeah,
it's the same family.
Oh.
Okay, just FYI. Huh. Yeah, he's Brett Kiesel's cousin. So, but, you know, like most racists who want to hide what their true intentions are, because they're also gutless on top of being morons, couch it in sort of ambiguous language so you can't really tell. So get on your knees. You got to think about it or, you know, draw a conclusion. It's sort of not overtly race. So she easily could have not done the race thing. The Utah could have easily not done the race thing and not sort of upset the apple cart where that team is located and the fan base. But to go right at it, to me, again, shows guts. And for her, it's 76 years old, stand up there in front of the crowd and say it won't be, you know, won't be tolerated. And, you know, he gets tossed. They also tossed another fan, apparently, as they've gone back now and compiled videos and started to investigate all the stuff. There was another fan, I think, who sits in the same area, who they caught calling Westbrook boy previous occasions, chucked him from the stadium for life. So, I don't know. Maybe Utah's got a long way to go. I mean, I can't tell you the exact conditions there, but Gail Miller, she's tremendous.
Well, this whole thing clearly with the organization struck a nerve. It's not often that you see the owner of a team get out there and address a crowd like that. You just, in any sport, really, like, how many times can you remember it happening? You know, usually there's a celebration, a trophy ceremony or something. There's an owner who addresses it. What about an incident? It almost never happens. Never.
But again, I just think calling it for what, because this Kiesel guy, you know, it's like, it sort of had the whiff. Yeah, they go back on his Twitter page. He had. And this is legit, right? Because there's also been fake Twitter pages, so there's all sorts of fake stuff going on.
No, but his account, like right after this whole thing happened the other night, he immediately deleted it, and they all disappeared, but they were already screen caps that people took a deep dive into.
Okay, so screen caps of previous tweet at Westbrook, go back to where you came from, hashtag MAGA, make America great again. Now that's great. See you later, loser. Like, So I mean, so that's what I mean. He's not like overtly using a racially derogatory term, but go back to where you came from. Hashtag make America great again. That's great. That's tremendous. You should be very proud. Very proud. That's great. Because he's a brash player that plays for another team. Good. Nice. Nice. You freaking loser. What a loser. Chucked from the stadium by Gail Miller. And then she goes out and calls it for what it is, a racist incident in a, you know, in the lily whitest city state fan base in all of pro sports, probably.
I mean, I love the way the Jazz handled it from the beginning. Really. And how much time went by before they banned the guy? It was less than a day, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it the very next day in the afternoon?
Yep.
I mean, they wasted no time at all.
He used so just look a little bit, the Kiesel's cousin. I can't remember his first name. I don't want to remember his first name. He now sells cars. He used to be a Utah highway patrolman. So I fear any African American motorists who might have, you know, come across this guy, this freaking loser. But good for Gail Miller and the Utah Jazz for doing the right thing with this fella. All right, so there's my thought on that. My favorite person in sports today, Gail Miller. It's a gender-free Friday. Everything's on the table. Christopher Gasper of the Boston Globe scheduled to join us here this hour. We'll see when the fella shows. And we'll definitely take your calls after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Agenda Free Friday continues here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app. 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Everything on the table from the week, anything we have gotten to or have yet to get to, it's all up to you and your wonderful phone calls. We'll talk to Chris in a minute, but we go back to your phones as promised. Sean is in Marlborough on the Patriots. Hi, Sean.
Hey, yeah. Normally I'm Chris, but give me a minute here. Mike, you've been saying for like 5 years that the Pats need to load up to maximize the Brady window. So what do? They trade picks. They bring in players. They spend to the cap. They win almost three out of three Super Bowls. And now you're salty over the fact that they're in cap jail, but they just won two Super Bowls.
I was never the load up guy. Did I ever say that?
Yeah, you kept well. Not
no, I didn't.
Load up,
no, 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 I didn't. No, window. No. In fact, I've been saying for years, get the next quarterback. Use a first round pick. I'm not the load up guy. Murray's the load up guy.
Yeah. Hi.
So when it comes to salaries, though. Everyone's like, oh, the big name, the big tech. It seems like the salaries are exponential, and you can get 80% of the talent for 50% of the cost. So it's harder.
I don't believe that, Sean. I believe Bill Belichick can coach up a C-minus player into a B-minus player where no one else can really do it as consistently as he can do it. But I don't think that you get 80% of the talent for 50 cents on the dollar. I think the talent's the talent. Bill just gets more out of it.
But if you use it the right way, you're not paying for talent. If you can coach up, you don't need to pay for an Aaron Donald or a Julio Jones.
I didn't tell him to go after Aaron Donald.
Sean, how do you feel about the receiving core?
Actually, you want to hear a stat? Only one team in the last 20 years has won a Super Bowl with a multi-year all-pro wide receiver or running back. So I really don't care about wide receivers and running backs.
Well, I'm with you in terms of the superstar guy. I'm 100% with you on running backs, and I'm 100% with you on those big, flashy, you know, diva receivers. I want nothing to do with them. I do want some mid-tier guys. They don't even have mid-tier guys, Sean.
Could they use more talent? Yeah, and I have a feeling they're going to get some, you know, a tight end and a wide receiver in the draft, and they'll probably bring back like a Hogan or like a Hogan type. Like, you never heard of Chris Hogan when he was with the Bills. And
yeah, we did.
He's useful.
Sean. Chris Hogan looks like Jerry Rice compared to the current crew that they have here.
Yeah, and Sean, look, again, it's a nice stat you had, but you didn't answer the question. How do you feel about the receiving core?
And while I've been load-up guy, to maximize the Brady window here. Like, I don't necessarily need Odell Beckham Jr. or A.J. Green on the wide receiver corps, even though I'm yelling about trade for him yesterday. I just need something better. Like, you know, get Julian Edelman some help. Philip Dorsett is also good. You need someone else on the outside that can win one-on-ones against a cornerback. You don't have that. They need another two.
I just think it's fascinating that they're treating, presumably, this is the way it looks today on March 15th. That they're treating Brady like Peyton Manning at the end, or John Elway at the end, or like they have Joe Flacco.
Which he is not.
Which, you know, we're going to run the ball and play defense to protect our quarterback. Which he's not. He's got too much game left for that.
See, this is why I can't stand when we get into these sorts of discussions, because Patriots fans get all annoyed that you're not allowed to talk about how they've composed the roster. You're not allowed to. We're not allowed to do that because what? Because they won. Because they win, we're not allowed to talk about anything.
No, that's not true.
Is that the deal? Is that the deal with Patriots fans? We're not allowed to look at anything.
We're not
allowed to look at the receiving corps and say Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, for crying out loud, in the receiving corps. Who other than Edelman? Who do you trust there? We're not allowed to ask that question.
We are, and we will, and we have been. Mike in North Carolina. Hi, Mike.
Big baby.
Matt, take a deep breath. So the bottom line is that there's panic mode at Gillette Place. Steve's calling all the shots. Believe Belichick is MIA for the last 2 weeks. His phone's cut off. Real quick, Cordell Patterson, letting him walk was a mistake. If I had Mass, say frickin' frack is better than Patterson, I will cut radio off. The last point, we need a quarterback, and I'm trying to figure out, was there an issue why we didn't go ahead and try to make a push for Bridgewater?
So he wanted to stay. So, yeah, he stayed for $7 million. So you're not – $3 million for Brian Hoyer is ridiculous enough. I'm not in there – you know, I'm all for the future, but I don't know if I want to spend $7 million on a backup quarterback unless it's for 1 year Garoppolo and he's clearly the next guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that for Teddy Bridgewater. So I don't think you ever had a shot. I've never even heard you link to him in any way, shape, or form. Maybe there was no real interest there. I'm curious about Bortles, because there was a time – and it was reported during the draft that Bortles was ahead of Garoppolo on their depth chart there in the draft, on their board. And they would have taken Bortles if he dropped. Or Rosen. Like, those are guys that I'm sort of looking at for them.
I mean, how could you possibly give $7 million to Bridgewater when you're giving $3 to Nate Ebner, and how much to Brandon King?
One something.
No, I mean, you got to have those special teams guys. Pay him $3 million a whack. Nate Ebner, three balloons. You've got to be kidding me.
Brandon King is one, call it 1-4.
That's 4.5 for Ebner and King. 4.5. And this guy, Terrence Brooks, he's another special teamer. So him and, give me one more, Brandon Bolden. There you go. Four special teamers. $7 million. How could you possibly pay Teddy Bridgewater when you were given seven balloons to your kick coverage team? That sucks, by the way. Or at least it did this past year.
It's Agenda Free Friday, so everything's on the board. Here's a topic near and dear to our hearts. Here's Nick in Nashville. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. So I just wanted to talk about your favorite heavyweight and mine, Deontay Wilder. You know, he's anointed by God. He's the next biggest thing in heavyweight boxing. He's going to bring back, you know, heavyweight boxing, and I love it. And I'll always root for him. He's a great story. But if you guys have looked over at the Brit, Anthony Joshua, he is a force. And I'm not just talking about the fight with Klitschko. If you go back and watch him against Dillian White.
Hey, Nick.
I mean,
Nick,
yes.
Let me stop you. I've watched them both. Joshua is a much more polished fighter. Joshua should be a heavy favorite when he faces Wilder.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone disputes that.
No, but we're rooting for Wilder.
And I want to see the fight.
And Wilder's got a puncher's chance because he throws howitzers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm rooting for Wilder all the way myself. But I think that, like you said, he's Anthony Joshua is a way more polished fighter. He's way more technical. And if Wilder is so anointed by God, can he anoint him a little bit of defense and counterpunching? Because he has heavy hands, but he's very erratic. He's kind of like Mike Tyson without the polish.
Oh, no. Well, Nick, he's so wide open. I mean, I think Wilder is due to get knocked over the ropes.
Yeah, he's going to get killed one of these fights.
You can't see it on the radio, but he's like, I feel like he punches from the outside, and he's so wide open. He leaves himself if anyone can reach him, I mean, the guy's giant, 6-something. So you got to be able to get in there and reach him.
6'7".
But if you can get up there, and Joshua's massive himself.
6'6".
So maybe Joshua can do it. But he's not very technical. He's not very conservative. And I think you could get inside of him and knock him into next week, but no one's really done it yet.
I mean, the last two guys that Wilder has fought, or two of the last three, I don't know if he fought anyone in between, Fury and that Ortiz guy.
Ortiz is a tomato.
Okay, Ortiz knocked him down twice. Like, you know, he can get hit. He's not a skilled boxer.
Right.
So he is wide open all over the place. I mean, it's just one haymaker after the next.
But this is what makes him fun. This is why I like it. As opposed to these little guys that I have to watch point each other. I have no interest in that. I really don't. I didn't have any interest. I stopped having interest in that after Sugar Ray Leonard and, you know, Hearns and Hagler in that era of middleweights and welterweights. I have no interest in it nowadays. None. All the little fighters you've told me to go see, I haven't liked a single one of them. The only fight I liked was Conor McGregor because it was a fun kind of bleep show. Other than that, give me these heavyweights. So we're still rooting on Wilder. We've been in touch with Wilder's camp. We're going to try and talk to him when he announces the next fight.
Which is coming up soon, allegedly.
Fury went and signed this deal in the U.S. with, was it ESPN?
ESPN he signed with.
So they can't have a rematch now.
Correct.
Which is unbelievable.
Right. And then Wilder, Billy knows all the details about this, so I don't know if he wants to get on the mic. Wilder was close to signing a deal with this streaming service out there that's called DAZN.
DAZN.
DAZN. Yeah. Okay. So, but apparently Wilder turned it down, and it would have been a two-fight minimum. And that he would have been on this streaming site. And also, Joshua, I think, is on the same program.
I mean, look, long story short, boxing still can't get out of its own way. I mean, it's just because he's a really entertaining fighter. I'm not telling you he's a great fighter, but he's entertaining. They're undefeated. They're heavyweights. They hit hard. They go down. And they should be promoting these guys and having them fight each other, and it should be a thing. And they're really missing the boat that it's not. Jake and Norton on the Russell Westbrook situation. Hi, Jake.
Yeah, I kind of have a different take on it. I don't really agree with the public consensus on what was said. I kind of agree with the Kiesel guy on what he said, referring to like how Westbrook had those heat wraps on his knees, and he must have said something about like, yeah, ice up your knees or whatever, like you're going to need those.
Hey, Jake, he said,
get down on your knees. And Westbrook wasn't down on his knees. He just had heat wraps on his knees.
Yeah, is that like a definite quote? Because the Kiesel guy said that he made a reference to the ice, like icing his knees, and Westbrook responded saying that it was heat, you idiot, or something.
Right,
but
Jake, yes.
I'm not saying that Westbrook was lying necessarily. I just think that maybe he heard what he wanted to hear and that maybe they're both kind of...
Jake, they investigated. They went back and found video and audio and heard exactly what he said, Jake.
Thank you.
It's not his word versus anyone else's. They went and found audio and video and clips and got him saying what was said. And I think he said more, and I don't know what else was said, but they did their own internal investigation with camera phones and stadium cameras, et cetera, et cetera.
And people who were sitting there.
Okay, and they talked to people around him. And to the point where they've actually found other guys sitting in that same area chirping other things that they've also thrown out of the stadium. So try again. Try again.
So I know what the guy's excuse was when they interviewed
exactly.
him.
Exactly. That's what he said.
Okay. But that's what it was. Right. But that's what it was. Is it was an excuse. Because I heard it, and then instinctively I said, this guy's lying. Now he's covering his ass. And that's how I felt right away.
So, again, that's not a he said, she said thing. They went and looked at that. Alan in California, quickly. Alan!
Yeah, so as of a few weeks ago, there was an article that you guys had in Sports Hub about all the Patriots draft picks. It looks like they got four in the first few rounds, some of their own drafts that they got from trades, and all in the commensurate draft. So what's going on with that? What's the upside?
Okay, well, the upside is, I don't know. It feels like the positions that are deep, isn't it? Defensive end and
safety.
They got to start drafting offense, man. They have no passing game players.
Again, really, you look at it. No, they have no long-term plan at QB. They have no long-term plan at tight end and no long-term plan at receiver.
Seriously.
Like go right down. Now, the offensive line overall, you'd say, is in pretty good shape.
Absolutely in good shape.
So you don't have a ton of concern there.
And so is the running back situation.
And so this one's really going up my mail slot. And it has now for a little while, this idea the Patriots have all these picks, okay, which they do. They have six in the first three rounds. But it is a manipulation of the facts because one of them is 98, which is at the end of the third, and the other one is 102, which is also at the end of the third. In fact, it's the second to last pick of the third. So they're making it sound like they got, you know, that they have six picks in the first 75. when the reality is that only three of them, you know, and they only have one, I think, in the first 50, for crying out loud. So I look at it and say, who would you rather be? The Raiders have four of the first 35 picks. Four of the first 35, but that's all they have. Or would you rather have the Patriots six in the first three rounds? I'll take Oakland's four any day of the week.
Gasper on the Patriots situation so far in free agency. Coming your way next.
Felger.
Yeah.
Say it. Felger.
Felger.
Maz.
Maz.
Murray.
Murray. Felger, Maz, Murray.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5. The
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's up?
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Agenda Free Friday continues here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app. 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Everything on the table from the week, anything we have gotten to or have yet to get to, it's all up to you and your wonderful phone calls. We'll talk to Chris in a minute, but we go back to your phones as promised. Sean is in Marlborough on the Patriots. Hi, Sean.
Hey, normally I'm Chris, but give me a minute here. Mike, you've been saying for like 5 years that the Pats need to load up to maximize the Brady window. So what do? They trade picks, they bring in players, they spend to the cap, they win two out of three, almost three out of three Super Bowls. And now you're salty over the fact that they're in cap jail, but they just won two Super Bowls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.